across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. It is wonderful to have you all here, and wow, what a game that was last week. I could not have seen this. I should have seen it. Now, I came to you with a prediction. I told you that we're expecting the Falcons to win over the Patriots because of the Age of Horus and the connection to Aleister Crowley and the flights of fancy that us children, as Crowley put it, take on these wars and games. And so I expected the Falcons to win, but boy, I should have taken into account the Trump victory. If we realize that this Super Bowl is somewhat of a ritual for, the world, really, because the Pope came forward, Pope Francis, saying that the Super Bowl should be a symbol of unity and togetherness. Now, that, to me, if the Pope is coming out to say that the Super Bowl is a symbol, then, well, we should take that into account. And I'll tell you that amazing historic win by the Patriots at the last moment was very representative of what happened with the Trump election. And I just did not realize how closely these two things were going to be. I should have predicted the Patriots on that very event. Of course, Lady Gaga did not disappoint. She came forward with exactly what I was expecting, a transhumanist, transgender, Phoenix Rising ceremony. I think you can look at the graphics I have up on the Joseph Farrell Show and see that I pretty much nailed that one. So other than having this secret win by the Patriots that was historic and that no one expected by the first half, I think it pretty much went on. But what happens after the Patriots win? Immediately, anti-Patriot protesters are taken to the streets saying, "Not my champions," and calling them white supremacists. Oh, Lordy, this thing will never end, folks. And to get deep into this topic and propaganda, this warfare, this craziness that's going on, that you can call a football game white supremacy, you know, opening the show, the Super Bowl crazy train, I think was just about the right thing to do. So today we are going to talk with Joaquim Hagopian. He is a West Point graduate and former U.S. officer in the Army. He's written a manuscript based on his unique military experience entitled "Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down." We're going to talk about that today. This examines and focuses on U.S. international relations, leadership, and national security issues. But after the military, Joaquim earned a master's degree in clinical psychology. Now, this is going to be important for the mind control that we're looking at. Worked at as a licensed therapist in mental health field for more than a quarter of a century. And that, too, is really going to play heavily into what is going on right now. Now, if you want to get all of his works, I highly recommend you follow him on Google+ and on his website known as empireexposed.blogspot.com. That is Empire Exposed. And today we will be discussing the American Empire, global politics, and the mind control of propaganda that will be following around this crazy president in times where we can call a football team racist. So welcome to the show, Joaquim.
Yeah, great to be here, Freeman. Very good.
It is wonderful to have you all the way from Bali, and I want to tell the folks, you know, we're recording this halfway across the planet, so if there's any audio issues, you know, we're working really hard to get this information to you. So, let's get this thing rolling. First of all, you know, you're there in Bali. Did you happen to catch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was finishing up another article, and it was like, about 7 a.m. my time here. So I tuned in, and it was like the very end of the first quarter. And, of course, the New England Patriots were just getting dogged all over that first half. You know, it was the most exciting Super Bowl I've ever seen. I mean, I guess it's everybody's the most exciting Super Bowl ever. You know, no team has come back like that before.
Never. It was historic. First game to ever go into overtime in the Super Bowl, and whoa. But then, of course, with all of that going on, you sit back and you watch the programming that's coming through and the commercials and the comments and things. And, well, you know, I started making a little list during the game and I was like, okay, military robots, secret societies, make it safe, robots, Intel, AI, Cube World, AI, military, Marvel military, X-Men, Mark of the Beast, robot football players, military. These were the notes that I was taking as I witnessed the commercials of the propaganda, you know, such things as Transformers, the new show Legion, which has the Mark of the Beast in it, and of course the Technocratic Society through The Handmaid's Tale. And just over and over again, you could not escape this war military connection with sports and how that programming is just fulfilling itself. Did you see all of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's no longer Ma and apple pie. Now it's like war, football, and Illuminati.
Yeah. I mean, right down to that commercial of those guys in the hooded robes selling you avocados from Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, doing
over
an eyes over the top.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at this situation on planet Earth, and we're trying to figure out how to overcome this elite's divide and conquer rule. And I know you are a very good person to start talking about how this shameful violence is being displayed over and over again. We got this UC Berkeley event going. And so let's talk about this divide and conquer rule, because it's obvious when you see people protesting a football game saying that the winners must be white supremacists.
Yeah, I mean, everything nowadays is so politicized, and it's all an elite game, basically, being played with humankind. I mean, the expression divide and rule, that's where that whole expression of divide and conquer emerged from way back in the Roman times. It applied to Julius Caesar. And, I mean, forever, the people in power have purposely maintained their power by pitting different groups against each other. That's the strategy, that's the game plan, and it's been working all along for just centuries, a millennium, basically, of the divide and conquer. And sadly, the people aren't able to grasp this whole historical lesson that they're all being pitted against each other by an elitist, you know, triangular power structure that pretty much doesn't have anyone's interest at heart except for their own. I mean, you'd think we'd learn by now after a millennium or two, you know?
Yeah. It really seems that we don't know what to do. We want to yell at the leaders. We want to yell at the, you know, just give me a villain. Just give me a villain and I will go and attack them. And that's a pretty dangerous place to be.
Well, it's we're being programmed. Life is tough. And right now, I believe that there's so many angry people out there. They know that the government isn't really, you know, looking out for them. It hasn't been for many, many decades now. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a Northwestern Princeton study that came out and actually declared our U.S. government an oligarchy, you know, where the ruling of the few, you know, pretty much dominate all the interests of Congress and our government instead of the people's interest. So it's no longer for the people, by the people, of the people. And we don't have a republic anymore. We have a totalitarian government that's now converted into a military war zone police state where no one's safe. And the powers that shouldn't be have been pitting all these groups against each other to the point where they're trying to stir. I mean, people like George Soros funding billions of dollars now into war, basically, trying to start race wars, class wars, I mean, religious wars. It's on and on. If there's any category that you can divide people, the elites got on it right now or yesterday. So it's up to us as individuals to realize, you know, that we don't want to be robots. We don't want to be just automatons, you know, reacting to everything around us. We need to, like, realize that we all are tools by the elite. And so we have to start thinking for ourselves. We have to learn to be able to think critically, to understand things beyond just surface appearance. Nothing pretty much these days are as it looks on the outside. So you have to always dig deeper. And of course, there's so much disinformation, propaganda, lies. It's especially if you follow the mainstream, you're totally lost. And unfortunately, a lot of the quote so-called left, you know, they're out there, you know, the Clinton and Obama and Soros and all of that, and even the Bush crowd, they're all in it together. And, you know, it's like the whole anti-Trump movement. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump. I wrote, you know, several articles in a row about how I feel like he's betrayed Americans, the small Americans that he promised in his inaugural speech to be all about, and to protect and defend and turning over our republic back to them and all this. Well, I don't feel like he's really living up to his promises so far. He's gone all military. He's basically got five Goldman Sachs people as his advisors economically. They've already done tax cuts for the rich. So it's like it's globalism two or three, you know. I mean, it's just as it was a seamless extension from the Bush to Obama administration. It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. They're all ruled by the same puppet masters that are pulling the string. So anyway, we just have to realize that you know, we have to get together as a people and unify against the true villains who are the elite that, you know, want us dead. I mean, they have a eugenics plan. They're going to be trying to depopulate our planet now for many decades, and they're doing a pretty good job. I understand that the lifespan is actually decreasing now for men and women. So, yeah, I mean, we're in dire straits, and it's time that we unite as a people and actually start opposing and resisting this elite deep state force that's against us.
You can see how confused everyone is. Bill Clinton spoke of stronger borders, stronger vetting of immigrants. Obama signed 19 executive orders, you know, one more than Trump. And when Obama signed all those executive orders on immigration suspension and other things, the leftists were like, well, I'm sure he had a good reason for that. But Trump does the exact same thing, and he's a white supremacist. He's Hitler, you know. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is a blind left where, they've given a pass to everything Obama's done, basically, and they're all after Trump. But really, to me, it's the same old, same old, same as the old boss, because the real boss is the power structure behind them.
Right.
The occupant in the White House is a figurehead. They're a puppet. So, you know, and they answer to the same one, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you are owned, basically. I think it was George Carlin that basically was one of the first to come out with that concept. That they're all owned, basically, you know, and they're in it for themselves to basically take care of and make sure the rich get richer and they feed themselves and do very well and have pensions galore while everybody else's pension dries up, dies. And so is a lot of the population. You know? So, yeah, it's pretty wild out there.
Well, before we get to war with Iran, the connections to Israel and all of this, please tell us a bit about your military career and what you think about order followers and those that would just do what they're told. And is there a lot of that going on, or do you see, was there some sort of separation where the military was starting to say, okay, enough is enough?
Well, I think for a long time, I mean, forever, basically, the military is basically grounded in what they call discipline, which means that you do what you're told. You know, there's a rank system, obviously, and you know, as a subordinate, that's what you do. You do what you're told. You know, and it's been this way forever. And you know, so when I went to West Point, it was like the Vietnam War. I was there the last 4 years of the Vietnam War. Thankfully, the year I graduated happened to be the year that American soldiers returned from Vietnam back home, where they were then spit upon, unfortunately, mistreated the Vietnam veterans terribly. But anyway, yeah, I mean, my years at West Point, I very quickly realized that the system is predicated on basically robots following what they're told to do and not having any kind of capacity to be able to even question anything. You just simply, you know, buy the garbage they feed and you eat it. And so, needless to say, I got into some trouble back there at West Point and was involved in a court case at the end of my third year. They decided, because I had a mind of my own, that I basically deserved to go. So they ran up my demerits in the last 2 weeks of the term of my junior year on a bunch of false charges. And at that time, there was no due process at West Point, no Fifth Amendment right. So they, behind a closed door, came to court after having given me 5 too many demerits for the 6-month term. They kicked me out, declaring me deficient in military conduct. So, and this had been going on since the place was founded in 1802. And so I took him to court. You know, I mean, on top of, you know, having a command conspiracy, the colonel said, this guy and this guy were roommates, they have to go. So out of our class of 1,000, we were the only guys to have excessive demerits that 6-month period. So anyway, they kicked me out, and they were going to put me in the Army for, I guess, a 4-year commitment. It was the end of my third year. Once you begin your third year, if you leave or are kicked out for too many demerits, you have a 4-year commitment on top as a private, on top of being kicked out unfairly. So that was just too much for me as far as the injustice of it. So I took West Point to court for failure to allow due process of law. Unfortunately, one of the constitutional rights that's not very much upheld anymore in our country. I went down to New York City and had a case with a federal district court in New York City, and the judge ruled in my favor. And I became the first cadet ever to be kicked out, successfully, legally challenge the system, and get back in. I was reinstated. I finished my final senior year out and graduated. And then I went into the Army, I was an officer, not very long, because I ended up, I basically was blackballed in the Army. The court case made a lot of waves, and Time magazine picked it up. I was like one of those, that expression, the Andy Warhol expression, you get your 15 minutes of fame. Well, you know, I got a UPI, picked it up, and went around the world. I had my 15 minutes of fame back then with my victory in the legal case. So I went back and I was blackballed. I ended up in the field artillery, putting steel on the target, as they say. I had a crisis in conscience. It was just the wrong thing. I was supposed to go into the Navy because my father did 20 years in the Navy, and they made an exception. No longer... In my case, there was an academy rule where you could, if your father was in a different service branch, you could opt and be commissioned as an officer in that branch. But in my case, they made the exception 4 days before graduation. I already had my assignment to Jacksonville, Florida. So anyway, it caused a lot of trouble. So by default, I ended up in the field artillery, and I ended up being a conscientious objector. So I did 1 year as a lieutenant, fighting the military, because they were giving me Article 15s. It was no different from West Point. But instead of giving me demerits, they were taking away half my paycheck as a U.S. Army officer. So anyway, I did extricate myself, thank God, from the military. My dad was a warrior in World War II, in the Korean War on submarines. He was very decorated and kind of brainwashed me to follow in his footsteps. I am a warrior, but I am a spiritual warrior as opposed to military warrior. And I found that out in my very young, early adulthood life. So, and then I went on, as you said, I went to school and ended up a therapist in the mental health field working with abused youth and adolescents. And that was some very gratifying, rewarding experience. That's why this whole Pizzagate, this pedophilia thing coming up, that hits my heart deeply, because those are the kids that I worked with for, you know, decades. So, yeah, and I wrote another article back in, I think, in December, early December, on the whole pedophile gate that's going on right now, too. That's making news, by the way, just this week. They're supposed to be doing some major high-profile arrests. And supposedly, the Globe, the tabloid, you know, mainstream doesn't cover any truth, but once in a while, those tabloid papers will actually come out with something that's true. And Globe, actually, today, came out with an article basically saying that Hillary Clinton was caught at the airport trying to actually leave the country for Bahrain, you know, a Middle Eastern country that has no extradition law, so they can't get her back to America if she's there. So I think things are closing in, and basically some major arrests. Might even be able to get McCain behind bars, a Naval Academy man who's a terrible treasonous. They're pedophiles and they're traitors. We have at least half our Congress full of these pedophiliac traitors. They've betrayed America. They deserve to spend the rest of their life behind bars. And hopefully the truth is going to fall down on their heads and they're going to go straight to jail. And supposedly with Jeff Sessions, you know, I guess he's going to get the Senate vote this coming week. I mean, we're in it now. So hopefully by Wednesday, they'll be voting and hopefully he'll get a 51 majority, because supposedly they're waiting for the warrants to be signed by the Attorney General to do this roundup of all these Chuck Schumer's on the list, Nancy Pelosi, all the biggies. They're supposedly all pedophiles. So anyway, I'm really looking forward. And if that happens, that's going to be the first really major monumental sign that we turned the corner and that we are finally going to hold the lifetime criminals who've been destroying America accountable. We might just see some justice. So I'm praying that this happens very, very soon.
I am mildly concerned that these type of topics coming to the surface would put America in the world court and in the crosshairs of a world war once we have exposed our own illegitimate and corrupt government. It's kind of a double-edged sword as we start to expose all this.
Of course. And, of course, it's very international. I mean, this whole business of international sex child trafficking, it's just a horrendous and huge, huge epidemic. I've written about this quite a bit. And it's in all the countries. It's all the... Sadly, it's the European royalty, the English royalty, the Belgian, the Dutch. The royalty's involved. The high court judges are involved. The members of parliament, Congress. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's pathetic. But this is the reality that we are faced with in our world, where we have these basically satanic, Lucifer-worshipping people in such high power. And they're doing horrible things to our children. So, yeah, I guess it becomes, as it comes out, I guess a lot of people will be shocked and perhaps, you know, the powers that should not be might, in their desperation, try and pull something like kill the whole world. That could possibly happen because, you know, as they go down, they figure, well, if I'm going down, then I'm going to take the world with me. So, There is that risk, but I am of the mindset that we must seek the truth, and we must, as we find out the truth, get justice. We have to have some justice, and that will empower people to realize that everyone is accountable. And unfortunately, for many, many years, it's been a two-tiered system. It's the haves, the 1%, that have one set of laws that always protect and defend whatever they do is evil and crimes of humanity that they commit. They're always protected and don't do any kind of consequence. Whereas all the rest of us, 99%, have to live with another set of laws where we do our time when we do something that's against the law. So, you know, we need some radical change. Now, hopefully, you know, it won't get too crazy and where there's world war, but let's face it. I mean, if Hillary was elected, she was going to be bombing Russia. Now, with Trump elected, it looks like he might be bombing Iran and maybe China. I mean, that's where the tensions led. You know, I mean, you know, there's a let up now with Trump on Russia, but now it's like China and Iran are the big enemies. So, yeah, I mean, either way, it looks pretty bad, very rocky, like there's war on the horizon. So, but I would rather just see all this come out and yeah, it's going to get probably very traumatic for a lot of us here on this earth. But we got to go through this. I mean, before it ever turns around and actually gets better, you got to go through the hell. They're not going to do it on their own. We have to force the issue.
Yeah, it's kind of a dark night of the soul for sure. And folks, yeah. I want to let you know that we will have Kathy O'Brien on here very soon. We've got her scheduled now. Of course, a very good friend of the show and one that was abused by Hillary. And we're going to get more into that with her. So that, you know, this is such a dark topic. Oh, the human trafficking, the child trafficking, the satanic rapist pedophiles. It's one of those things that the world is going to have a hard time swallowing. And yet we've been talking about this Kathy's been talking about it for 25 years. It's, you know, it's something that has been in the public arena for a long, long time. And for some reason, just can't take hold. And now with Pizzagate, it seems that this has taken hold. People are ready to start to look to this puzzle and start to understand it more. We have so much evidence to suggest that the courts, the judges, the police, the military are all complicit in a satanic pedophile ring that often is covered by the idea of lone nut killers or serial killers. And all evidence suggests that there are groups involved in these scenarios and that the so-called serial killer, lone nut killers, are just the fall guys to take the blame for what's actually part of the true elite system.
So. Yeah. I have a friend who is an ex-Marine Corps military intelligence officer as well as CIA, Robert David Steele. You've probably heard of him, fairly well known. And he actually has come out and said every terrorist event in the United States is basically the FBI, the CIA, basically inside job. Everything is an inside job. They actually go out and recruit these troubled young people, and they become the patsies. And of course, they've done an inordinate amount of recruiting with young troubled Muslim men to do a lot of the damage. But they're all handled by CIA and FBI operatives. So it's all inside job. It's a very evil government that is really opposing humanity. So, you know, it all has to come out. And, you know, we're all doing our part just by talking about it and spreading the news.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw people that the serial killers that were put through the army training, getting their blooding at the same medical hospitals in Germany. I wish I had their names in front of me right now, but people like, it's going to leave me. Maybe it'll come back up. But what I would say, suggest to all of you folks is check out the work Program to Kill. And this will give you much, David McGowan's work, Program to Kill, will give you much information on the military connection of getting these so-called serial killers to be the fall guys for these situations. And now, as we see, everything is a show. It really is. There's so much going on. Now, you live in one of the most Islamic areas in the world. I mean, Bali, Indonesia, it's hugely Islamic. What's it like there?
Well, actually, of all the provinces in Indonesia, with Bali as one of the 1,500 islands of the archipelago, but it's the only province in Indonesia with actually a Hindu majority. So the Muslims are not the majority on this island where I live. Pretty much the entire rest of the country, the Muslims are the majority. And in fact, Indonesia is the most populous Muslim nation on earth. I have been very impressed. These people, the Indonesian people, now there's some trouble in Jakarta, the capital, where there are Muslim agitators trying to take over. That they have a governor there in Jakarta who is a Christian, I believe. And so they're using some religious tensions to try and stir some uprising up for a change of power to back over to a Muslim. As far as, how my observation of people here in Bali, these people get along with each other. I don't see tensions between the various religions here. The Christians and the Hindus and the Muslims on this island, they all pretty much get along. I mean, we're all from the same human family. And that's really the most important thing for us to realize our interconnectedness, and the similarities that we share far outweigh any differences. So it's usually the media and the elite that are always trying to emphasize how we're different from each other in order to just exploit those differences for the same old rule, divide and conquer, So, it's great here. I don't see it. I don't see the tension at all.
That's exactly what I expected you to say, Joaquin.
This is Bali. People come and just enjoy themselves. Basically, to me, and all this stuff about, what's going on in the world, what I take from it is, all we have is the here and now reality. The future, putting all your worries into what's going to happen, or the past, dwelling all the stuff, the shoulda, woulda, coulda, that's all garbage. That's human-made garbage that we clutter our minds with. And if we're able to live, really, to just live the art of life, is living as fully and joyously in the present moment, because that's all we've got, as possible, that's the way to live. And what I have found, and this is why I'm here, what I have found is that the people really understand that. They're instilled with that playfulness, the childlike quality of being in the moment and just enjoying life, smiling and laughing. I mean, it's a whole different world from America. People are so uptight, so frustrated, so angry. They know they're getting screwed on and they're ready to break, and a lot of people are. So, I wish they could learn how to live the way the people here do. So it'd be a lot more peaceful planet.
Yeah, there's very little community here in America, and I feel like these type of gatherings, the Women's March, the protests, and all of that. I mean, I've been there, right? I stood in front of those riot squads before, but I didn't expect anything to come of it. I wasn't there actually in hopes of making change. I was there because, it was part of the experience. It was part of being alive, and I got to gather together with 500,000 other people that were like-minded, and that's what I saw out of the situation, and I think that's really more what people are. I mean, yeah, they're super frustrated. They feel powerless. They don't know what to do. And so they take these mantras that are handed to them by Soros and others, and they go out and they try to feel alive, feel like they're part of this system, feel like they're involved, when honestly, it would be far better for them to be involved if they were all gathering together, building gardens in their community, meeting one another, having block parties or something to that effect, because it's going to have as much change by doing that, more change by getting to know one another, having this community and together congregation, than going out and yelling at everybody and this angry protest, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The key is decentralization. This whole New World Order movement is predicated upon centralization of everything, from the energy fuel to you know, pretty much the government. The federal government has taken over a lot of the states' rights and usurped their authority. Everything's centralized, you know, and that's for obvious maximum control over the populace. So the key then is decentralization. And in terms of everyday living, that means that you're working with your neighbors. And yeah, as you're saying, you're growing your own food. You're becoming as resourceful locally as possible. That's the answer, really.
And yet, right now, everybody's ready to watch the prequel to 24 Legacy on their virtual reality Android. And we're moving into this technocracy, and everyone's kind of cheering that along as we move into the future and smart homes and, you know, technocratic society that's going to be ruled by, well, it seems like the microchip.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a really insane world out there right now. So, yeah, I mean, I suggest, you know, get yourself weaned off these electronic devices. Start spending more time having actual human eye-to-eye contact and dialogue with another human. I think, you know, I mean, we're losing the basics now on even being able to communicate interpersonally because everything is so interactive with our machines, you know, and that's all by design too. The elites have basically created a dependent society that is totally addictive, and it's under the whole mind control, basically umbrella of mind control. You know, when we're addicted to the TV and to all our electronic devices, you know, we're just basically pawns to the system.
Yeah, and it's absolutely causing some psychological problems in people, without a doubt, as we detach, you know. Go ahead.
It causes brain damage. There really is brain damage. DNA, it alters the DNA. I mean, it does some real serious damage to people.
And just through our social medias, through virtual reality, we start to detach from our own interconnectedness and we start to lose all consequence of action, you know, trolls, the horrible things that people say to me and you and others as they can just post whenever they want, things that they would never say to you face to face. And
right.
We've lost all of that. As a clinical psychologist, like, what are some of the methods that we might be able to take to turn from being a troll?
Well, like I say, you need to turn off your devices. You know, you need to start spending more time in the real world. I mean, basically, the elite has created, you know, this illusion of a world that we're living in. I mean, the cyber world is illusion. It's not reality. Just like, you know, one of the prophetic films of all time and one of my favorites, Network, where the newscaster is ranting and raving, he's like, turn your TV off. I mean, he had it down in 1976, Paddy Chayefsky, what a writer, you know? I mean, incredible stuff. But that's what we need to do. We need to actually wean ourselves off these devices and actually start developing relationships with other humans, learning to be able to communicate with, honestly with other humans. And where we're able to actually share what's going on the inside rather than completely always in the reactive mode. If all we're doing is reacting to everything on the outside, we're not going to have a clue what's really on the inside of us. We're just going to be lost. And unfortunately, that's what I see. People in this reactive mode all the time, 100%, and it's always with the devices, and it's just, it depersonalizes people. We're becoming less human, basically. So we need to find our roots. We need to go back to who we really are as human beings and start acting like it.
Yeah, you can clearly see that in the white supremacist Super Bowl. I mean, if that's not reactionary, I don't know what is, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy. And such a simple answer as starting to commune with food, getting together, having meals. You guys wouldn't know, folks listening, how big a difference your life will have if you did one simple thing, which was to start cooking and to cook food with each other and to share food. I found that this is one of the biggest steps in finding your humanity again. And even just the health that comes along with it and all these things just make your life a way better place than this angry mindset that everybody is caught up in and thinking they're making change by being angry and violent in the streets and taking out windows at Starbucks and, thinking that that's going to help our situation when it seems more likely that these type of activities will push Trump to force martial law. And then, you know, where do we go with that situation when that whole door is open at that point? What do you think on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's already a reactionary kind of guy. He's so tuned in to what the mainstream media is saying, and then he's like twittering all night long.
His tweets are epic.
I mean, just crazy stuff. I mean, he's like so tuned in to what other people are thinking and saying about him. And he's way too reactionary. He's not centered. And he's like too reactionary. So he needs to follow the same advice that we're giving everybody, basically. And I think you touched on it, basically. You said, you know, preparing a nice, healthy meal, that's a labor of love, basically. When you're able to do that with people that you care about, and then you have the conversation at the table and afterwards, I mean, there's a real bonding that actually occurs, and that's really what we have to get back to. Just sharing what's much more important to us in our day-to-day lives with the people that we care the most about. You know, I mean, that's basically the bottom line for living, I think. And we're able to then kind of like be able to, you know, operate more from being centered and being more who we are, rather than just simply acting in this angry reactive mode 100% of the time. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. So, you know, that's good advice.
Without
a
doubt.
Cook a good meal for somebody that you care about and share it.
Honestly, that's the closest thing I have to a religion. I have fed things all over this planet, and I've seen the changes that occur, and the energy, the transmission, the love, the fulfillment that comes. This has been, I mean, honestly, cooking and food have been at the heart of my personal religion. And I see this happening. I see the rise of the people that eat the food. I mean, there is definitely some sort of psychological effect. There's definitely something. So, folks, I would definitely recommend, sharing with me some of your stories and how we can possibly do this to start doing community gatherings, community meals, getting to know one another, and share these stories more and more than the angry tweets that we constantly see of reactionary mindsets.
Yeah. Here's something else that works. It's always worked for me. Go out and you can do it with somebody you care about, or even by yourself. And sometimes it's even better by yourself. And that's just to go out into nature. Even if it's just a little pocket of some trees, you know, nice shady trees or somewhere, or of course it's wintertime back in a lot of the United States, But you know, nature is where it's at. That's where there's the spiritual earth connection that just is the most primal that you can get, is being out in the beauty of nature. And that will help kind of center you and put you in a kind of at peace, inner peace, and being able to kind of bond with the world and the universe, really. Or even, you know, weather permitting, of course, climate permitting, but, you know, going out and just looking up at the stars at night, look at that, you know, panorama of the Milky Way and all that wonder out there, that'll just connect you with the universe as well. I mean, so there's many different things. Meditation, you know, just taking a few time outs where you just kind of get collected and gathered and rest, you know, bring your mind to ease. you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do for ourselves that are healthy and will allow us to be able to, you know, be able to become really who we are and be more fulfilling of our God-given potential rather than just simply, you know, monkey see, monkey do, and you go out there and imitate and react and just, you know, that only leads to more trouble. So, yeah.
Absolutely, folks. Realize that the man that created television said he would never let his family ever watch that thing. He knew. And realize that should've, would've, could've's will eat your soul. That is the worst thing. If you ever hear, I should've, I would've, I could've, out of your own mind or out of your mouth, nicks it right there in the bud because should've, would've, could've's will kill you, right?
Yeah. You got to catch yourself for that. And, you know, it does take some, you know, self-training just to be able to become aware of your own thinking processes and catching yourself and you're going a little bit astray there. Because, yeah, obviously the woulda, shoulda, coulda is always living in the past. And that's no way to live. So, you know, we can only, you know, the only good that the past has is if you're reflecting and realizing some of the things that you've done that you could have done differently, and then you learn from your experience so that you don't keep repeating the same mistakes. That is the only benefit of any kind of self-past reflection. That's the only gain that you can. All other thoughts of the past, unless they're nostalgic, because everybody, you know, that's cool too. I think as long as you don't dwell and live in that world, and some people do, unfortunately, But thinking of some good times in the past, I think we all have license to have a little bit of that too. But other than that, you know, if it's always the trouble, the negative and regrets and sadness and anger and all of that, just keep rehashing, reliving that. That's only unhealthy. And of course, you know, there's the mind-body connection. So if your mind goes there into the darkness, well, it's going to manifest in your body. You can't, you know, cheat fate. And eventually, with that mind-body connection, your body will catch up to the negative thinking, too. So there's a lot at stake, and it's all about choice.
There it is, folks. Absolutely. The elite want you to be in this sense of just discord. And the only hope you have really is controlling your own mind and finding happiness. You have to almost force it into your reality until it becomes a reality. And to start to block all the negative programming that's constantly bombarding you and getting all just upset and irate about everything, realize that you do have the choice to be happy. You may not think it. You may think you need to be angry in order to change the world, but we're going to show you that happiness will have a far better outcome. You can absolutely pick up Joachim Hagopian's works there at empireexposed.blogspot.co.id. That is Indonesia. So empireexposed.blogspot. Get up on Joachim Hagopian's work. I said that one wrong this time, Joachim. Joachim Hagopian and Empire Exposed. What do you do? A lot of writing. You get a lot of articles out there. What do you have some things coming up in our near future?
Yeah, I just finished an article today. It's probably not posted anywhere beyond my blog spot, but I contribute a lot of my writing to globalresearch.ca. And then also LouRockwell.com, very good site, and SOC, state of the, what is it, sign of the times, SOTT.net, sign of the times.net, SOTT.net. Those are the three main, news sites where I contribute my work to, but yeah, blog, the empireexposed.blogspot.com. You can get to my site where all my stuff is. I was just thinking a minute ago as you were talking, and I was thinking, you know, another thing that we can do is we can act kindly, just with a compliment, a simple little gesture of support, of caring, of sharing. It makes a huge difference in people's lives. They really, you know, we're so used to being so wound up and just moving, being driven, in our life, you know, from this place to the next, and you know, our mind somewhere else. And, but if we're able to just, you know, give somebody some support, show them that you care, that really goes far too. And it's a two-way street, because not only are you making the other person feel good, but you yourself feel good too for having done something good for somebody else. It works both ways. So that's another thing that we can all do for ourselves, to get ourselves off this basically this wheel that's being spun around so fast that we can't think. Well, get off it and just start living your life. And these are little things that you can do to move in the right direction.
Absolutely, folks. I don't think we've ever felt more alone than we do right now on what the elite consider an overpopulated planet. Right now, everybody really feels all alone. And that's why these reactionary gatherings occur, in this sense of trying to find unity in the events that are going on planet Earth, and thinking that the simple, the home, the food, and the caring and nurturing are things that are simply waste of time. Why you should be out there being reactionary. This is a false reality and a backwards reality. And you're never going to fight your way to peace, folks. You're going to have to find your way there through love and nurture. These are the only things. And I have absolute faith in humanity that this is at the heart of your soul. So I have no fear about that. So we're going to take Joaquim over to the other side, into the members section, and get deeper into Antarctica. We're going to get deeper into the understanding of what a civil war in America might turn out to be. You know, get more into order followers. But definitely I want to dig deep a bit into Antarctica with Joaquim, and also just get into some more high strangeness. So members, join us over in the members section. The rest of you folks, thank you so much for tuning in and helping out. And if you want to become a member, just go over to freemantv.com and subscribe. You can just pick up a month, check it out. You can get a week for free if you want to go for recurring payments. Right now, I am doing a bit of a crowdfund here, because I might possibly be moving to that TV studio in Florida and take this bigger and better and bolder. So I really do need your support right at this time. So please subscribe to freemantv.com. If not, just share. And I hope you all are enjoying the programming, because we really are trying to save the world here. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.